Agriculture is taking a huge hit right now due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, I'm joined by two farmers in the 68th District to talk about how this is playing out right here at home. I hope you find this edition of Conversations with Clint helpful as we work together to be change makers in our community, commonwealth, and country. I'd like to welcome Amanda Miller from Sugar Branch Farms and Johnny Painter from Painterland Farms, two industry and Farm Bureau leaders here in the 68th District. Thank you for joining us, and it's great to see some faces from home. I'm down here in Harrisburg today, so thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Clint.
Amanda, I want to jump right into it here. Let's start with you. We have been getting lots of questions about the dairy industry. We're all seeing images of farmers having to dump milk, their hard work really going down the drain. It takes a ton of time and energy to produce that milk. So people have questions. People are wondering why, and they're frustrated. We're frustrated. Take a couple minutes here and help folks understand why this is happening in not only in our community, but all across the Commonwealth and really the country.
Absolutely. If we back up a little bit, the dairy industry is coming off of 3 years of a historically prolonged low milk price. So you have dairy farmers that just this year in 2020 were starting to look at, okay, we can figure this out. We have a low price, but we can budget accordingly. Most of you small business owners out there know what it's like to budget. We have our milk price futures, and we know that we were looking at $16, $17 milk for the year, and we knew what to expect coming forward. And then, as everybody is, we were very surprised when this pandemic took over, leaving a lot of dairymen in a total lurch. Dairymen are losing 30% of their milk income in 1 month. That's probably the cost of most of their payroll. For many small businesses or anyone just receiving a paycheck, just imagine getting cut 30 to 35% in 1 month without any warning. You know, you're very quickly having to make adjustments. But what has happened in the supply chain, as you all know, dairy cows and dairy farmers are milking, they're still being paid, and we're still producing a product. But our supply chain has quickly started to part, whether it's packaging, whether it's at the plant level. These folks are no longer able to come to
work. Hey, Amanda.
Can we, Amanda, do you think we could try her just over the phone too?
I think we're going to have to.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry. We're getting every other word, and your face is like, it looks like something from Lord of the Rings. Don't take it personally, but
calling on the phone, and then we'll get a picture of you as well.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, no problem. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, I just thought it would be better.
I was thinking, I was hoping, if you were seeing the same thing I was seeing, I was like, okay, yeah, we're going to have to do something different. Do you want me to start over at the beginning?
Yeah, we didn't go too far in, so yeah, just start from the beginning if you don't mind.
Yep. Johnny, are you still there?
I'm still here listening.
Okay.
I miss Jeff's bunny ears and taps on the opposite shoulder. You can tell him I said that.
Will do. I'm going to turn Amanda's camera off if I can.
Okay, I'm on my phone right now.
Okay, do you want to turn your computer speaker off?
Yeah, I'm actually I just exited out of the meeting. Is that going to be a problem? Or?
Nope, we still hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's, and no echo, so that's good.
Yeah. So then, Amanda, after we're done here, could you send Clint a picture as well?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, great. So I'm going to turn off my webcam and audio, and then Representative, you could just start over and go as normal, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. All right. Sorry about that, Amanda. I think
that's fine.
I think it'll look better. It was
gave me a run through.
Yes, it was pretty rough. So yeah. this'll sound a whole lot better. I'm gonna just start from the top. So all right, 3, 2, 1. Agriculture is taking a huge hit right now due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Today I'm joined by two farmers in the 68th district to talk about how this is playing out right here at home. I hope you find this edition of Conversations with Clint helpful as we work together to be change makers in our community, our Commonwealth, and our country. I'd like to welcome Amanda Miller from Sugar Branch Farm and Johnny Painter from Painterland Farm, two industry and Farm Bureau leaders right here in the 68th District. Thank you for joining us, and it's great to see some local faces from home as I'm down here in Harrisburg this week.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Amanda, let's jump right into it. I want to start with you. We have been getting a lot of questions about the dairy industry. The images of farmers dumping milk, their hard-earned efforts that they put in every day really going down the drain. And this is really hitting people hard. They're frustrated with that. We're frustrated with that. But tell people a little bit about what we're seeing here, why this is happening. I think it will be helpful coming from really a farmer who's right on the front lines there in our district.
Absolutely. Well, backing up, we are coming off of a three-year period of prolonged low milk prices, which has been particularly tough on dairy farms. And, of course, we were looking ahead at milk futures, and it looked like a pretty good year, actually. The prices were coming up just a little bit, and we had a stabilization in the price, and we knew what to expect. And naturally, everyone, all small business owners, were pretty surprised with this pandemic. And farmers are now seeing a 30 to 35% loss in their milk income. So for small business people or people getting a check from their job, it's a 30% cut in what you're used to getting in your bank account every month. And it's created a problem for the on-farm guys because we don't really have the reserves built up to dip into, and we haven't managed or prepared for anything like this, of this magnitude. And what's happened is, although fluid milk sales are the highest we've seen in years, fluid milk sales had been declining, and we are seeing that retail shift where people are buying more and more gallons of milk. The supply chain has gone through a major shift as well, and they haven't had enough time to catch up. But it primarily comes down to your food service industry.
Right.
People ate 50% of their meals out in restaurants, take-home pizza at a cafeteria, and all of those large sour creams, large bags of milk, huge tins of butter, those have all been put to a fast stop, and we don't have the packaging and the supply chain to quickly move that over to a small little package of butter that a consumer can buy now at a grocery store. And therefore, it has caused a huge disruption, and we've had to, you'll hear multiple accounts of farmers having to pour milk down the drain.
Yeah. And that those images are so hard to see, Johnny. And I know you're a dairy farmer as well. Talk a little bit about how this is affecting you guys and really just the industry as a whole. I know Amanda touched on it a little bit. The markets have been so low for so long. So even trying to, come up with some sort of a reserve to help you through some rainy weather here has been incredibly challenging. And that's why we're really scared about this.
Oh, it's been incredibly challenging. And I tell you, the consumers that I have talked to that aren't close to the farm or related to the farm, they see those images on TV and they think there's a real shortage. And it's hard to explain to them that it's a processing breakdown and a transportation breakdown. And people don't understand it's through not just dairy all the way down through the industry, agriculture industry, that we're set up to produce certain packages or certain products. And when the system, when there's a break in the system, it affects the supply chain all the way down. So, you know, farmers are pretty resilient, and we've had to be to get to 2020. And as this thing continues, it's harder for a lot of people to see the optimism out there, because we've just been losing so much product and so much time, and it's going to be a real process, even when it opens back up, to get everything back online and running smoothly and have the store shelves full again. So it's a big effect on everybody.
Yeah, it really is. And I just want to encourage the farmers that are out there watching and listening today. We have some great leaders working to try and figure this out, but it is, you're right. Anytime you completely close down one section of the market, the ripple effects are devastating. But Johnny, it's not just dairy, right? You know, you and I have been talking offline over the last couple of weeks here about other areas of agriculture that are being affected. You travel around the state, all over the place. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing in other areas of agriculture.
Well, every sector's been affected, and as we see, well, for the beef industry, for example, right now the packing plants, because of the COVID-19 and infection, a lot of those people, the packing plants are taking fat beef. They're still taking some of the cull cows and more ground meat type animals, but they just don't have the capacity to handle them. And the chicken industry is the same thing. They're all set up to process. They grow so many birds, they send them to the processor, and then they get processed and broke down into pieces and put in the supermarket. And I've heard several stories of birds being euthanized, for lack of a better term, here in Pennsylvania and across the country, because there was nowhere to go with them. You know, and a grower has 6-8 weeks worth of time and feed and blood and sweat into that, and it's hard to see that happen. Another industry that is, we see the dairy thing going on, we see some stuff with pork and with chicken, but another industry that's huge here in Pennsylvania that kind of gets slid under the radar is our mushroom industry. Pennsylvania is the leaders throughout the world. I think over 50% of the mushrooms in the world are grown here in the southeast part of Pennsylvania, and those guys are telling me that they're expecting by the 1st of May there'll be less than 25%. The most conservative fellow told me that there'll be less than 25% of the beds in Pennsylvania that have mushrooms growing in them. And if we get open back up, that it'll probably take 6 to 10 weeks to get back up normal where we are. And I'd say that's an industry we don't talk about as much, but it probably affects every county in the state here, because lots of farmers, whether you're dairy or beef or whatever you do, we have extra hay and it gets rained on in the weather, and so we sell that to the mushroom industry. And probably here in the 68th district, I'd say conservatively, $1 million worth of hay gets trucked in annually to southeast Pennsylvania for the mushroom industry. And then they're telling me, too, that they're having more problems with their, because they have immigrant labor, and they've had more problems and more restrictions on some of the, like, payroll protection plan and some of these stimulus plans getting in because of the way it affects the immigrant labor. So that's an industry that kind of gets glided over a little bit. I just wanted to throw that out there and make people aware of it.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Johnny. And we often take our food supply for granted. And this COVID-19 stuff, I mean, the ripple effects are going to be long lasting. And we take for granted, we go to the store and our shelves are stocked with our favorite brand and flavor of really whatever your heart's desire. And that didn't just happen. There was a lot of time, energy, and sacrifice to make that happen. Amanda, life as a farmer is incredibly challenging between the markets, the costs, wages, weather, really variables that are outside of your control. How could members of the community show their support for agriculture? Because folks, our farmers need our help right now. They really need our support. So Amanda, what could people in the community be doing to show their support for agriculture, specifically in right there in their community?
Well, it's probably just as simple as grabbing a gallon of milk at the grocery store. And if you see a limit at the retail store for how many you can buy, speak up to the manager and say, you know, these farmers are having to dump milk because they don't have other places for their fluid milk to go, but they can supply fluid milk to the grocery store in bottles, and there's ample supply of that. So encouraging our retailers to lift those restrictions on 1 or 2 gallons of milk and allowing the consumer to continue to buy those. And then other businesses around the state, small businesses to big businesses, have taken upon themselves to just go purchase milk by the load in gallons or half gallons and distribute those at food banks or just locally in the community, setting up at a fire hall and handing them out. Anything like that that puts an insertion of money back into the chain so that our co-ops and our farmers have money coming in to pay for that milk will benefit our dairy farmer.
Yeah, we've seen some pretty cool examples of that. The Taylor Farm, that was pretty cool over the weekend. The line of cars of folks that were going through that drive-through dairy little idea, which was awesome. It was so encouraging to see. Johnny, how about you? As a farmer, what would be your big ask to your fellow community members and really your Commonwealth?
Well, I would echo what Amanda said, you know, to buy local and support your fellow farmer. And even when we've seen some spikes in prices and some shortages in the grocery store, I just ask everybody to remember that we still have the safest, most abundant food supply in the world. And as we work through this, we're going to get back so the stores are filled with everything that you'd like from as they were before.
Yep. I want to thank you both for joining us. And I want to end this with a quick story. I've told you guys both this story. And I grew up on a dairy farm, and things were tough back then. This was in the early 90s when I was just a little tyke. And I remember we were really struggling at the time, and the community knew it. And other folks knew that things were tough for our farmers. And a classmate of mine brought a thank you card with a $100 bill in it for me to take home. And I was in elementary school, and I remember giving that to my parents. And that was back when $100 would have filled a grocery cart. Now it's like you can't get much for $100. But back then, I mean, it would have been mounding over. And that meant so much to us as farmers to know that other people were watching out for us and helping us. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that story. And I know times are hard right now for everyone. They really are. So many people are out of work, and small businesses are watching their dreams vanish every day that we continue to stay closed. And the need is great, and our farmers are feeling that as well. We need food during and at the end of this COVID-19 crisis. So let's support our farmers, folks. Let's give them a shout out when you can. There's a family farm behind every gallon of milk, block of cheese, stick of butter, pound of ground beef or bacon, every dozen eggs, bag of mushrooms or potatoes. And that's just to name a few. And by purchasing those, you are supporting a local family farm and somebody hopefully in your community. Amanda, any closing thoughts before we end this conversation?
I would just say thank you for your support to date, and we're all in this together. I feel like lately things are getting a little divisive, and just remembering that every person here, we're all in this together, fighting this virus together, and we're all doing our best to keep moving forward. So thank you for your support.
Johnny, how about you? Any closing remarks?
Yeah, I'd also like to thank you for hosting this, Clint. And I'd like to echo that we are all in here together. The other thing I'd like to echo is there to say is it's easy to get caught up in our own problems, but we need to look at the bigger picture and kind of look for the blessings and the good things that we can find in for weeks now, and we get the opportunity to help teach them from home, and they've learned life skills. My 7-year-old granddaughter can now set the table for 8 and put the napkin and the fork and everything in the right place. So sometimes it looks horrible, but we got to look for the blessings and things also. So thank you.
Well, I've often said this, and you guys have both had me over to your houses for dinner. Hopefully we can do that again soon. And folks, never underestimate the lessons and the value of a conversation and a meal with a fellow farmer. That's all the time that we have for today and for our conversation with Clint. I hope that you have enjoyed this. And remember, if you ate today, make sure that you thank a farmer. They are true change makers in our community, our Commonwealth, and our country. Join us next time for another conversation with Clint.